This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We're going to talk about family members turning on family members, why that happens. We'll hopefully get to some immigration talk this hour. I'm going to, before the end of this show, discuss some of that AI conference, press conference from last night at the White House. I have some major concerns there. Emails, other things coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. Now, we talked last night about it. It's been in the news. The January 6th political protesters were freed. Trump did the right thing, the correct thing, sat down and turned them all loose, every one of them, period. Let them go. But it's worth looking back on how some of those people ended up in prison to begin with. Some of those people, they were reported, they were turned in by their own family members. And this is something good people cannot wrap their minds around. They have a very hard time understanding it. I'm going to play you the audio of somebody. His name's Jackson Reffitt. He was on CNN. And he was on CNN to explain turning in his own father, which he did. His father's name was Guy Reffitt. And his own son turned him in. It was what he had to say about it.
It really sounds like January 6th broke your family apart.
That's right. My father's actions coming from the Trump presidency and what he thought what he was doing was right just destroyed it. And I made a very, very disgusting decision to inform authorities about what he was doing. And I still feel horrible about it every day. And, you know, my sisters are out there right now and they're rooting for him. And, you know, I understand that. I come with a point of love towards that. Like, I want to be there for them, but I can't. It just isn't safe for people like me that have done the same things I have done to do what I thought to do to protect my family. And, of course, I love him. I love him. I just cannot feel safe around him. Cannot feel safe around people he knows. I cannot feel safe around the people my mother knows.
I turned to my own father. I know how that looks, so I'm just disgusted by it, but I certainly can't ever be around him or anyone he knows. You see, I had to do that horrible, evil thing in self-defense. How many times have we had this discussion that the entire history of communism is doing the most despicable, evil, demonic things and convincing yourself and trying to convince the masses? You had no other choice. I had to. It was a self-defense. I had to. But let's just talk about that. A son turning in his own father. I've told you this before, and this is probably one of those opinions I have that make people angrier than anything else I say on the show, which is crazy. All the offensive stuff I say, you know what gets us the most hate mail? We'll get a bunch of it tomorrow. Remember, you can send your hate mail into, I don't give a crap, I'm not going to change, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. When I tell people, I would never turn in my sons. Ever. They're mine. Now, if my sons did something heinous and horrible, murdered someone or something like that, I would hope they would turn in themselves. Am I going to get my murderer son a fake passport and get him down to Panama at a safe house? Probably not. It would depend on the crime, what crime he's accused of. But there is nothing you could do. There's no hate email you could send me. I know you're typing it up right now. The rule of law. Take your rule of law and shove it up your rear end. It's my son. My son comes before everything. Well, not before everything, but he certainly comes before your law, your country, your government, or anything else. They're mine. I would never turn them in, ever. My wife, same thing, ever, in a million years. She's mine. You can't have her, period. And yeah, I know, Chris, we're going to get so much hate. Again, send me your hate mail. I don't give a crap. They're mine. That's my family. That's loyalty. So why are some communists, why are so many willing to turn on their own family and do so publicly? This young man not only sent his own father to federal prison, he goes on CNN to this day to talk about it. He didn't change his name in shame and go into hiding. He's on CNN talking about it to this day. How and why are they like this? Well, you should get that the communist does not break up families by accident. That much you must understand. It's the best way I can. A youth football team. I'll use it this way. I want you to think of it like your youth football team, high school football team, where your kid, he plays football. He wants to play football. He tries out. He makes a team. He's happy to be there, thrilled to be there. He's part of a team, part of a unit, and he's working hard. And every single day they go do all the things, the pads, the lifting, the everything else you got to do when you play football. But as part of their high school football program, their coach begins to put into them that you can never, ever, ever, ever show your mother any respect. If you show your mother respect, you're weak. You better start disrespecting your mother. Now, that sounds like an awful thing, and it is, of course, an awful thing. Don't disrespect your mother. And it sounds like something that you would think would be rejected by a bunch of young men. You would hope a bunch of young men would be rejected, but you see, the coach makes that a central plank of being part of the team. If you are part of this football team, you will lift weights. You will do two-a-days in the summer. We are going to have these drills all the time. We're going to do this kind of defense. We're going to do this kind of offense. And if you want to be part of this team, you will disrespect your mother. Otherwise, you're off the team. You're out. How effective would that be? That wouldn't be universal, of course. But how many mothers would get disrespected out of nowhere because of that? A lot. That's what being a communist is. They are not passive about breaking up families. Every single one of them, from the dawn of communism to now, wherever it's been, Russia, China, anywhere across the globe, every single one of them has been laser focused on shattering the family, on worming their way into the family and breaking it up. And the purpose of that is you can have no higher loyalty than to communism. It is not allowed, and it is perfectly natural, if you come from a good family, it is perfectly natural to value your family before you value the government. That is a natural and right thing. Of course your mom, your dad, your son, your sister, your brother, your daughter, of course they're going to mean more to you than the government. Well, if you're a communist, you can't have that. The chief loyalty of every human being must be to the government. Do you think it's an accident? Do you think it's an accident all these LGBTQ teachers are starting to tell kindergartners and first graders they're gay? You think that's just about all the pride stuff? You think it is? It's not. Do you know that? It's not even about that. Oh, that's a nice side benefit. But for them, it's about breaking children early away from mom and dad. Your mom and dad are evil. They're backwards. They're wrong. They're whatever. Break away from them and come to me. I'm a safe place. Look, I won't even tell them. We'll go get you transitioned. It's okay. It's okay. It's not an accident they go after children. It's not an accident they insert themselves into marriages. I've told you this story before. In East Germany, the Stasi used to plant pornography in people's mailboxes just to cause marital strife at home. Hey, honey, I got this magazine today. What have you been reading? Why would they do that? It seems so small, so petty. It's not petty. For them, any and all loyalty, religion, family, whatever, whatever comes before communism must be attacked and eliminated. Now, sons will turn in their own fathers and go brag about it on CNN. Now, let me ask you again. Do you think these people have changed their belief system? Or are they just regrouping a different way? And stay watchful, right? Speaking of family, think about something for me real quick. How many hard pictures do you have in the house? Meaning not digital. It's not on your phone. It's not on your computer. How many pictures? Got a picture of grandpa on the wall? Got a baby album, maybe a wedding album sitting somewhere, maybe sitting on the coffee table somewhere? Why haven't you digitized that stuff yet? You have old VHS tapes around? Do you even have something that plays VHS tapes anymore? Why aren't you watching those old videos anymore? Let Legacy Box digitize all of that for you. All of it. Grandpa's old war pictures, the VHS tapes of you making a jerk of yourself on your wedding night, baby pictures of the kids. Legacy Box makes it cake. They'll send you a box. You put that stuff in there. You send it to them and voila. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. Whenever you want, you're watching it. And it's saved forever. A house fire, a flood, doesn't take away those memories. Save 50%. 50. I'm not making that up. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Gosh, I love those guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
I love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can download the whole show if you go to Spotify, iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. I got screwed up with the eyes, Chris. There's a lot of eyes involved, right? When I like to focus more on me. What, Chris? Why are you like that all the time? Yeah, look, the story of Pavel. Somebody said that's the story we've read before. Pavel, he goes by 10 different names. It was a famous story. I've told you this before. You go look it up in the Soviet Union. We think the story was fiction, but no one knows. No one knows whether it really happened or not. But the story was this kid, he found out his dad was holding back some grain. His dad was holding back grain for himself instead of turning it into the state. And the kid bravely turned in his own father. And then his uncle found him and killed him. And the Soviet Union, they didn't print that story once in the paper and say, look at Pavel. What a great guy. They made songs about it. Plays about it. He might not have even been real, but even if he was, he was held up in front of the nation. Look at Pavel. That's what you should be. Of course you turn in your father if he defies the state. The communist is not passive about breaking up families. He is focused and he is purposeful about it. It's why I have cautioned you so, so strongly to be careful where you send your child to college and high school and elementary school. But my goodness, college is where they get them. They've finally left your home. They're not checking in with you every night. They're out with their friends. And that is where, well, not my kid. My kid's good. I've had so many freaking emails from people who said my kid was good and then I lost her in college. Be careful. That professor is not, oopsie, did I break you away from your parents? Not accidental about it at all. That professor is dead freaking serious about it. When that professor wakes up in the morning, they're not thinking about teaching Aiden and Jaden and Braden science. They're thinking about teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to hate your freaking guts. Be careful. Jesse, well, I'm glad to see DEI die. There's still a huge problem. HR offices have been taken over by the DEI hires for years. I wrote you a few years ago regarding my husband's layoff. For those who don't know, the job market is horrific. Ghost jobs, so on and so forth. While connections matter, it's not always possible. You must get past the DEI HR offices. Yes, this is, she goes on, and they're really struggling right now, and they ask for some prayer for people searching for a job. So yes, actually, say a prayer for people out there, because it is really, there are a lot of hard times right now. And this is why I wanted to do this show tonight the way I've been doing it, about the wins. I'm not at all trying to take the wind out of our sails. We should be happy and celebrating. Trump is killing it. We're like 72 hours in, and he's just killing it so far. The border, DEI stuff, military. Remember, he got rid of the commandant of the Coast Guard, Linda Fagan, dumped her. So he's doing great. But we can't sit back and say, DEI is dead. I've seen so much of that. Stow that crap. It's not gone anywhere. The people responsible for it have not gone anywhere. That's right, Chris. The ATF, their DEI director, they just renamed a position. The FBI's done the same thing. The NSA's done the same thing. They're just moving these people around. And the same thing is happening, as this lady points out, in the corporate world. In the corporate world, HR was already the problem. And then they added another problem when they started adding DEI departments. Now they're eliminating the DEI departments. But guess what? The godless commie hag who works in HR, she hasn't changed her mind about a single thing. The one controlling the hiring, the firing, the training of your employees, oh, she's still a dyed-in-the-wool malice, interested in using your company like a skin suit to destroy the culture she hates the most. She hasn't gone anywhere. She hasn't changed her mind, she hasn't changed her heart, and she most definitely has not changed her ways. So we can celebrate things like, oh, great, Linda Fagan's gone, that's great, woo-woo-woo, and that is good. But remember that, you know what, Chris, grab that Linda Fagan soundbite, if you don't mind. Linda Fagan, there's a soundbite of her testifying. And now, this is a woman, keep in mind, she took over the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard. Now, as much as we love the dog on the Coasties, the Coast Guard's awesome and critically important, and I actually love them. It's just fun to do inter-service jokes, but the Coast Guard has a critically important role to guard the shores of the United States of America. It matters a lot. And Linda Fagan, do you have the clip? Linda Fagan is given the opportunity to lead this organization. Where was her focus?
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
That monster was given charge of the critically important military branch, the Coast Guard, and all she wanted to do was get more women in there. The mission? The mission never crossed her mind. We have to stay on these people. They are not gone. They are quiet. They are retreating a bit. They are not gone. All right, let's do some emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a wonderful hump day, reminding you you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Okay, I'm getting right to the point, Jesse. I'm watching you right now, and you are full of and everyone who follows you is full of shit. You're a moron.
See how wonderful that call was? Right to the point, you see? We don't judge here. We don't judge the criticisms, the love, the hate, the death threats, whatever. It's fine. There was no rambling whatsoever. That was a man, half a man. That was a man who wanted to make a point, and I thought he nailed this.
Okay, I'm getting right to the point, Jesse. I'm watching you right now, and you are full of and everyone who follows you is full of shit. You're a moron.
And for your information, just neither here nor there, I am not. I eat a lot of fiber.
Yes, I'm the guy on the East Coast that you so graciously answered the question regarding Montana or Wyoming. Crazy enough, something popped up on my website regarding Wyoming, indicating, you know, transvestite-friendly cities in Wyoming, on and on. But the bottom line was is that there's no gay bars in Wyoming either. Thanks a lot, Jesse. See you in Wyoming.
Well, of course there aren't. It's not on the ocean. There aren't any naval bases. Immigration raids in sanctuary cities, this guy says, are doomed to backfire. Homan should operate only in friendly territory. Red cities and counties should cooperate fully and let it be known where illegals can go to avoid deportation, so on and so forth. His name is Chris, and not to be confused with Jewish producer Chris. He calls it a tactical error that they're in places like Philly and otherwise. And that was, ICE was raiding places in Philly and stuff like that today. Okay, so let me tell you why I completely disagree with you. And I'm not even going to do one of these things where I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I just totally disagree. Let me ask you something. The communist, does he look at super red places and just say, ha, I can't do any good there and walk away? Or does he attack everything at all times? Do you remember? You probably don't, unless you live in Texas. If you don't live in Texas, it'll have faded from your mind. But you remember Beto O'Rourke in the Senate run he made against Ted Cruz? Chris, do me a favor. Look up how much Beto raised. I think it was $100 million, but it may have been more than that. I know it was a record at the time. I don't know that it's been broken. But we are here in the red state of Texas. And it's been red. And I'm not going to say forever. You should never want to say forever. But for the foreseeable future, there's no indication it's going blue at all. It's red, 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 red. Now we have to clean up our garbage House of Representatives here, but that'll take time. But the state itself overall is a red, red, red state. Ted Cruz was up for re-election. We are in a red state. The communists didn't, well, we'll just run kind of half-heartedly somebody. No, they found somebody. And they threw over $100 million at him to run against Ted Cruz. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, yeah, they screwed up. They lost. That money could have been used elsewhere. Chris said it's $80 million. Apparently, I'm a huge fat liar. Whatever, it was a lot of money. Anyways, a lot of money. They ran. They lost. But did they lose? And let me explain it this way. The Democrat Party in the state of Texas, you don't have to be aware of it or be here to know that, but the Democrat Party in the state of Texas, they're a minority party. They don't have statewide power. They spent, Chris says it's $80 million in a Senate race. A Senate race they lost. But after that Senate race, think about $80 million. Think about what you're doing with $80 million. Television ad after television ad. You're all over the internet. Bumper stickers, t-shirts, concerts, rallies. $80 million buy you a lot. You essentially ran an $80 million advertising campaign for your party. Did that get you 51% of Texas voters? No. But is your party stronger now than it was before you spent $80 million? You see, the communist has been after red areas for the longest time, and time after time after time. And to be fair, there are some instances of the GOP doing this, but the communist never sets aside anything. He goes after everything because his is a religion of domination. And eventually, you wear people down and wear people down and wear people down. Let's say you're in the state of Texas and you do that for one Senate cycle and then another Senate cycle and then a third Senate cycle. And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, this is getting expensive. But then in the fourth Senate cycle, your candidate happens to be really, really good. And their candidate or our candidate kind of he's had some problems. And then, boom, a month before the election, he gets caught in some kind of scandal. He was running off with the secretary or something like that. And boom, you find yourself in the United States Senate for 6 years. You should not abandon any ground to the communists in this country. We should be running people in the bluest parts of Chicago, Philadelphia, Compton, you name it. We should be running people all across the southern border, which is historically really, really, really blue, all controlled by Latinos, all really, really, really blue, but getting redder as we go now. We should be running against everything all the time. And let me tell you this. Why do we lose these blue states so often? We'll make it about Illinois, actually. We'll focus on Illinois. Have you ever seen a congressional map of Illinois? Go look it up if you're not driving. It's unbelievably red. You would never consider Illinois a red state, but if you look at that congressional map, it's shockingly red, except for Chicago. Okay, so Chicago's the problem. It's a very common tale. A blue urban center. The rural areas are redder. All right, so we need to make some gains in Chicago. What's a big reason the urban centers of this country are so blue? Black people. The black vote. Black people in this country, traditionally, 90% plus have voted Democrat. The black vote has gone Democrat. The black vote, really, the ones who are centered there in black communities, they vote all Democrat, and in large part, they ensure Democrat rule of these urban centers. Where did the communists stuff all the illegals they were bringing into the country as fast as possible? I know they spread them out a lot. I know about Springfield, Ohio, and Idaho, and I know all that. But the large chunks of them, where'd they put them? They put them in the big cities, and they stuffed them right in the black neighborhoods. Why? The black neighborhoods are always the bad neighborhoods. The schools suck. The hospitals suck. The roads suck. The apartments suck. It's the poor part of town. The poor part of town gets dumped on everywhere, always. It's always been like that, no matter what color the people are. And so they took all the illegals and they stuffed them in there. How many pieces of audio have I played you from black people in urban centers screaming about the fact that their communities have been overrun?
Man, Brandon Johnson, you took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Or when you took an oath, was it only intended to fight for the 10th and 14th Amendments regarding illegal aliens?
You guys fighting for some illegal aliens who haven't put a dime in this country. This falls on you.
We don't want illegals in our community. We don't want migrants terrorizing our own people.
And you got it. Now, you wake up this morning. It's January 22nd. You're a black person who's traditionally, you and everyone in your family who's traditionally only voted Democrat. You woke up this morning still angry about the fact that your already crappy school got even worse because they doubled the population of it. It's now bilingual. Your rec center's been taken over by illegals. You can't go to the local playground anymore. And you woke up this morning, and what did you see in the news? What did you walk out in the streets and see? You walked out and saw they're rounding up the illegals in your city, and they're getting them out. Are you going to have a moment of pause about who's actually fighting for you? It just might. No. You don't cede ground anywhere. Nowhere. And you don't cede ground to pain either. You don't tell pain, well, I guess that neck pain's always going to be there. You don't do that. Nope. You can attack it. You should be attacking the pain in your body, not by masking it, taking things. Well, it'll feel better for a few hours. No. Start taking Relief Factor every day. Start putting down the masking stuff. Stop ignoring the pain. Stop avoiding doing things you love to do, golfing, hiking, whatever it is. Start taking Relief Factor daily. It is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement, and it helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. You know, over 1 million people have tried it. You know how many have ordered more? Like 70%. Give Relief Factor a try. All you have to do is try it for 3 weeks. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, and I have some sad, sad news to tell you. This came out a couple hours ago, I should say, but It looks like Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff, it looks like they're having some marital troubles. Now, I know what you're thinking. That is sad, and I agree. That is sad. You don't want anybody to have marital troubles. And, of course, it begs the question, why? You don't ever want to stick your nose in anybody else's marriage, but you always do wonder why. I wonder if they're having financial problems, or maybe he's got a wandering eye, or maybe she has a wandering eye given her past. And you never know what the problems are. Maybe they've just grown apart. These things happen. Maybe you've had a divorce. These things happen. It can be ugly. It's terrible. But no, from the Daily Mail, it looks like Kamala Harris is blaming him for her election loss. Is that not the most Kamala Harris thing in the history of Kamala Harris things? And granted, it's not like he helped. He was never going to help. And plus, running to be the second gentleman is just, it's kind of weird. It's kind of, no, I'm sorry. He is the second gentleman. He was running to be the first gentleman. It's just weird. You know, it was always odd. But then it came out that he used to get a little slappy with his girlfriend, and everyone's like, wow, he's pretty much a demon. That's a terrible thing to do. And then it came out that his workplace was less than hospitable to women, and now everyone realized that, whoa, surprise, surprise, another male feminist turns out to be a weapons-grade creep. So I admit it wasn't the best news cycle in the world, but man, is there anything more Kamala Harris than being handed the nomination and handed $1.5 billion, and probably more than any of that, handed the infrastructure of a presidential campaign. It takes a long time and a lot of hard work to staff up a presidential campaign. They are vast. You have more surrogates and offices and branches of it than you can imagine. It's creating a Fortune 500 company that's temporary. That's what running a presidential campaign is. And she didn't even have to do that. She was handed the infrastructure of that as well. And the American media did everything they could do to hand her the race. Remember that debate where the GOP once again idiotically accepted a debate that was going to be moderated by David Muir and Lindsay lip injections, and they interrupted Trump the whole time and did everything they could do to toss the thing. They did everything they could do. The entire system did everything it could do to hand her the presidency, because these people are now mortified at where they stand globally. And she still managed to not just lose, she managed to get blown out. Democrats never lose the popular vote anymore. That's not something that happens in this country. She even lost the popular vote. And after a few months of marinating on it, Kamala Harris has come to the conclusion that it was Doug. Doug, sorry, buddy. But hey, look, if we know anything about Doug, we know she better stay in line. What, Chris? What? It's not me. That's Doug, right? We all know Doug's pimp hand is strong, right? We all read it in the paper. The guy they were telling us was so pro-woman. That was the best part about it. Oh, I really love women. And you know, I'm embracing a new, remember he was selling that? Chris, grab that soundbite. Remember when they were asking him about the new kind of masculinity? I'm sorry, I still thought that was so funny. You're really representing a new brand of masculinity, Doug. And how does it feel to be the ambassador of the new kind of masculinity and all that? And he's sitting there, even if Chris can't find it, I'm paraphrasing. Oh, you already found it? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go play it.
Has being second gentleman changed your own view of perceived gender roles or what it means to be a man?
This is something I've thought about a lot and something I've spoken about a lot. There's too much of toxicity, masculine toxicity out there. And we've kind of confused what it means to be a man, what it means to be masculine, where you've got this trope out there that you've got to be tough and, you know, angry and lash out to be strong. It's just the opposite. You know, strength is how you show your love for people. Strength is how you are for people.
Okay,
and how you
I can't
have
take
their
it
back.
Anymore. Listening to that, knowing the dude beats women. He's one of these animals who beats women. He beats women. And he's out there. Well, I mean, you don't have to be strong and yell and then things like that. There's a new kind of. And it was Doug's fault. I knew it. I knew it was Doug's fault. So let me ask you something. Do you believe in Doug's kind of masculinity? Or do you reject that? If you reject that, you might want to grab a male vitality stack from Chalk because Doug needs one. Do you want to become the second gentleman one day? You don't want that. Do you want that? No. So you need testosterone. You need it to be strong, to be focused, to have energy, to be in a better mood, and you don't have to get freaking injections and a bunch of horrible crap in your body to do it. You can take natural herbal supplements and get there. Chalk is right there to help us. They have a male vitality stack. They have a female vitality stack for the ladies. They got Chalk lit powder. They have armor. They have Chad mode, a pre-workout. You want to talk about being a dude? Go. New Year's special. Massive discounts on any subscription. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Do you want to be like Doug? Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. All right? All right. So let's talk a little bit about these deportations because there's a couple things we're going to dig into next hour. The deportation stuff. And we're going to dig into this Larry Ellison thing. For those who didn't see it, there was this press conference last night at the White House, and it had all these guys up there, and Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle, was up there. And he said this.
Once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
As you can imagine, I have some thoughts on that. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.